Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. Doofus in Chief is back from his Hawaiian holiday, and the Doofus in Chief says the system has failed. That's with reference to the Christmas Day terror plot. He is the system, man. He is the man. What do you mean the system failed? Well, okay, you heard me talk about this since last Thursday. The system has failed. He is the system. I'm the system. You're the system. He's the system. And the terrorist who would have blown up the plane is being treated like an ordinary criminal, innocent until proven guilty, even though his crotch was on fire and the Flying Dutchman saved 300 people, if not more. He's innocent until proven guilty. See, that's our way of law. If Obama had been in the White House in 1940, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. That's what I'll repeat it again. He would have said Adolf Hitler doesn't mean anything, that the system has failed because of Pearl Harbor. The system has failed. And we're not going to consider the Japanese as aggressors because we don't know that they actually did it. It could have been Somalis in airplanes in 1941. We have to have a full investigation called the Pearl Harbor Commission to find out who was actually flying the planes, who gave the orders. We don't really think it was the Japanese. And if we capture one of the pilots, we're going to actually try him as a burglar, a breaking and entering job. Oh, what a country. New York City prosecutor blasts heroin how-to pamphlet. You hear this? Look, the health departments were taken over by deviants and perverts 15, 20 years ago. There's not a sane one in the country. I stand by that phrase. They penetrated all the health departments in order to disseminate crazed information to the population. So now they put out a pamphlet, did you see it on my website, that teaches heroin addicts how to shoot up safely. Can you believe? That's like saying, how to have a head-on collision safely. That if you're going to have a head-on collision, there's only one way to do it. Here's a pamphlet on how to drive into an oncoming car on the Washington Bridge. Anyway, what are you going to do? I'm talking to myself again. Now, the CIA, you see, I'm afraid to get into that one. When they appointed Leon Panetta to the CIA, we knew trouble was coming. We knew that Leon Panetta, who, is it strange how he looks like Peter Sellers, doesn't he, in Inspector Clouseau? I've always, like, noticed that about Leon Panetta. He had, like, a weird similarity to that character, Dr. Clouseau, Peter Sellers. But putting aside the obvious comedic element of it, the political element is quite interesting. Leon Panetta, who has no qualifications in intelligence whatsoever, is appointed by Obama to the head of the CIA, and we have multiple crashes of the CIA. It's amazing to me. You heard what happened? Did you hear this, what happened? And this is, of course, you can blame Pelosi for this. It was Pelosi who's been attacking the CIA relentlessly. Just last week, a double-agent suicide bomber blew up 7 CIA employees at a CIA camp in Afghanistan while they were exercising in the gym. They thought he worked for them, and they sent them to the Al-Qaeda, and he told them he had information about how to get Zawahiri. So they invite him into their gym while they're working out, and he kills 7 of them. That's what you get when you have a political appointee who has no intelligence skills whatsoever. The man was running a college in California before they made him the head of the CIA. A nun college, by the way. Cal State at Monterey. Imagine who goes there. You can imagine what a college that is. That's a tremendous institution if you want to get a degree in seagull watching or something. Like, what do they teach at Monterey University? University of California at Monterey or Monterey State. Like a nun university, a boondoggle from top to bottom. So there's Leon Panetta, CIA man or dead. And then we got the crotch bombers, everyone saved by the Flying Dutchman, as I said. Tiger Woods is finished, gone with the wind. Everyone dropped him like a hot potato. But he could always do a play girl, you know. I mean, that'll be his last resort, is play girl. I guess they could put her in play girl, another prize of the year. What's going on now? Rush still claiming about chest pains? It's chest pains, but it's not a heart condition. You have chest pains and go to the hospital, what is it? What do you think, we're all schmucks? What do you think, we live in Palm Beach? You think people listening to the show all live in Palm Beach? What is that? Government media complex. It's all a lie. I'll take your calls if you want. I mean, the phone number is 1-800-4. Half of you not even back yet. You still believe in global warming, the myth that Gore put out? Coldest winter in 40 years. Frigid. It was beautiful. I flew across the country yesterday, as I said, and I was thrilled, actually, looking out of the window at all of the snow all over the Midwest. It reminded me, you know, like America used to look like this. Gorgeous. Just gorgeous. Just fabulous. The relief. It looked like a sculpting. Just beautiful. She comes back from the Hawaiian holiday, and he's going to get tough on terror. Meanwhile, the crotch bomber is being treated like a common criminal, a breaking and entering character, someone who committed bunko, not terrorism. He is a soldier for the enemy. The crotch bomber admittedly works for al-Qaeda. He said I worked for al-Qaeda. Says I was trained by al-Qaeda. So what you do is you try him as an enemy combatant, you find him guilty and shoot him, the way FDR did with Nazi infiltrators in World War II. And FDR was a Democrat, but he understood what national security is. The difference between Obama and FDR even, and they're both left-wingers, but I mean there's a world of difference? I think. What do you think? I think you think we all think for ice cream. 1-800-449-8255. Let us begin on the East Coast. Walter in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael.
Well, say something. Don't say hello. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say, you know, you guys on the right are making a huge mistake here. If you look out and see what's going on in this world, you'll see that Barack Obama is doing what George Bush was.
What happened? Wait, hold on. Look, first of all, get off the damn speakerphone or I hang up on you. You got 10 seconds to talk into the mouthpiece. I realize that it's risky for you with the halitosis that you have, that you'll get the blowback out of the receiver, but I'm not listening to a loudspeaker. All right? It's a radio show that I have, not you. So you're going to put it on regular phone or I'm hanging up on you? Oh, you dumb drunk, you. What'd you have, some leftover rum from the holidays? You squeezed out of the rum cake, you dumb moron, you. You idiot, you hear? He thinks he's on the radio. Thinks he's got a radio microphone there. Screaming into the mouthpiece. I hate people who speak to me even personally. I make them hang up. I won't listen to anyone talking on a speakerphone. I know people don't even... That I got to listen to? Thank you. No, I know some important people. They won't talk on the phone at all, by the way. In fact, most of the intelligent people I know haven't had a phone conversation in 6 years. Do you know this? They won't talk on the phone. Everything's by email. I don't blame them. I insist on all communication by email. But okay, I'm in the talk radio business, so we have to talk. But you get a dumb stumble-bum drunk like him who's high on rum cake that he squeezed out the last bits of ethyl alcohol, and right away he's got a speakerphone, blah, 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 Obama, you guys on the right, blah, 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 Obama's great, blah, 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 shivering his butt off, and he believes in global warming, that's all. A mug by an illegal alien, but he believes Obama's right that we need 30 million illegal aliens made legal so they can mug them legally. Crotch bomber, CIA blow up, you name it, one after the other, one intelligence failure after another, and Obama, the Hawaiian holiday king, he's doing a fine job. Look, I criticized George Bush repeatedly. I used to do Where's Waldo, and Bush was no good on things, and I have every right as a commentator to comment. Of course, it has no meaning to you, because I'm not a valid person in the media. That would be somebody without a pair of you-know-what underneath their tie. No, the people valid in the media are guys like Britt Hume or like Dan Rather. He was a valid person. Katie Couric, there's another valid person in the media. Roger Mudd. I liked Roger Mudd. When I was a kid, I didn't like Walter Cronkite. I suspected there was something wrong with him. I knew years later we found out that the guy was a stone-hearted anti-American left-wing fanatic. But okay, as a kid, you don't know. You're eating lamb chops, French fries, what do you know on a tray? Uncle Walter, some uncle. Uncle Joseph Stalin. Roger Mudd I liked. Him they got rid of right away because he was too good. Sober. I like sober. I don't like smiling talk show. I don't like smilers. Like Regis Philbin, false teeth, false hair, false face, false eyelashes, in my opinion. Like Regis Philbin is an example of what the media is today, that type. Like there's something rickety about them, you know? Well, why do I get so distracted? What's going on in the world? It can drive you crazy. The whole country's falling apart from the top to the bottom. It's collapsing. And the Hawaiian holiday, he comes back, and right away he's working around the clock now. Now that he solved the banking crisis, the General Motors crisis, the intelligence crisis, the global warming crisis, he's working around the clock to legalize 30 million illegal aliens so the country can become like Mexico. That's all. That's just what you're looking forward to. You've always wanted to live in Mexico, right? Well, get ready for a lawless nation if that happens, because that's what they're going to bring here. Obama's running national security correctly? Well, correct me if I'm mistaken, but 7 CIA men are under the ground right now because he's running it so well. Leon Panetta is the head of the CIA. The man was unqualified and incompetent from the beginning. They're covering their own tracks, that's all. And Obama has the nerve to say the system has failed. He is the system. He's no longer a communist community organizer with a staple gun. Austin, Texas. Rick, go ahead. Your opinion. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage. Hey, President Obama is running our national security like his two little girls when they get into an argument. Today he said that he will not tolerate finger pointing. Well, how the hell are we going to fix the problem if we don't know where to point our fingers?
Yeah, what do you mean no finger pointing? Either there's an incompetent moron working for him called Janet Reno. They changed. I'm sorry. What's the new one's name? Janet Napolitano. Why do I mix them up? Why do I mix up Janet Reno with Janet Napolitano? Why is she? What do you mean no finger pointing? Who does the buck stop with? Me? I'll be right back.
Savage.
We are focusing today on the complete breakdown of national security under Barack Obama. And it's not a pleasant topic. I mean, there's no pleasure in this. But when you appoint political hacks to high positions and you have one tragedy after another, who should you blame? The people? What do you mean there should be no finger pointing? How could Obama say that the system has failed when he is the system and he set up the system? You get what I'm saying? I mean, I'm like cold and sober about all of this. We live in a crazy world. It's getting crazier. We have a totally corrupt and incompetent government, a systemic corruption. The people all know it. Everyone I run into, I tell you, I run into strange, you know, cab drivers. I don't even know their politics. They don't even know what I do for a living. They don't write and say, oh, there's Michael Savage. I'm not like the golfer where everyone knows me. No one knows me. I travel, and frankly, when I speak quietly, they don't know who I am. In fact, yesterday a driver taking me to the airport said to me, oh, you sound like a lawyer. I said, God forbid. I didn't even tell him who I was. And he went on and on about how corrupt and broken down this government is under Obama, praying to God we can survive for, you know, a couple of more years of this guy. I didn't prompt him. Everybody is saying it except the diehards and the drunks and those who work for him. So now I don't go to the conspiracy theory that he was, you know, he was the Manchurian candidate and he's working for the other side. I mean, he may as well be. In other words, he isn't picked by them. But his left-wing politics works so well in their favor that it almost doesn't matter who he's working for. He's certainly not running for the American people, and I've lost my Telos again. There we are, off and running at the races. Emergency Telos. The joys of talk radio. 1-800-44. There's no point in calling, though. That guy who had this pyorrhea, I hope that he gets medical help while he can. The one who was yelling at me on a speakerphone. Because, you know, I'm not going to accept speakerphone callers. And if he wants to debate me, fine, but he's got to talk into the mouthpiece. And I recognize, you know, this goes back to a district attorney we had in San Francisco who was notorious for a pyorrhea that slayed people. There were people who would not be in the same office. It filled volumes of airspace, the pyorrhea. People would run out of his office. I could mention his name. Began with an H and ended in an N. Fanatic leftists. Why do fanatic leftists all have something wrong with them on that level? Well, we'll go into that another time. But he had a pyorrhea on him that emitted a noxious odor to an extent that DAs in the office couldn't go in there. They'd go in for a few minutes at a time and come out with their eyes tearing. They needed a wet handkerchief face to talk with them. So this is what went on. The guy was a fanatic leftist, this DA. So, and I did one-arm Frank, you know, as a story. I know this guy calls on a speakerphone because if he talks into a mouthpiece, he gets the blowback himself, you know, right into his own nostrils. So he yells, blah, 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 blah. Well, what am I talking about? You see this tragedy here that would happen? An heiress to the Johnson & Johnson fortune? Heiress. Casey, dead at age 30. Trainwreck heiress Casey Johnson, the wild child daughter of Jets owner Woody Johnson and great-granddaughter of the founder of Johnson & Johnson, was found dead in her L.A. home yesterday. All right, tragedy. Read on. Casey, a debutante-turned-party girl whose recent antics included, quote, an engagement to lesbian lover and B-list reality star, somebody, B-list, no-list reality star, nobody, was 30. The D-list girlfriend was telling pals that she believed Johnson had OD'd on prescription pills, Radar Online reported. Now, what can you make of a story like this? Number one, don't leave your children anything. Number two, never leave your grandchildren anything. Number three, get poodles instead of children. It happens like this. They never work.
Savage.
Look, I'm a realist. It's an imperfect world. I understand that. It's a question of how much imperfection you can take in an administration. And we in the media have an obligation to be watchdogs for the people and spokesmen for the people, not lapdogs. We're not supposed to be lapdogs. We're supposed to be watchdogs. We're supposed to say foul ball. We call them like we see them. So now you have Obama speaking the first person singular and saying things such as mistakes were made, the system failed. And instead of saying I failed or my system failed or my, it's always somebody else. The guy doesn't understand that he's the president of the United States. 1-800-449-8255. Can you explain why this is going on? Well, we know why. Why go on and on about it? Let's take some callers. New York, WOR, Steve, go ahead, you're on the air.
Dr. Savage, how are you tonight? The way he can solve this problem, I think he needs to have a beer with all the Arab nations, just like he did with that professor and that police officer. That can solve all the problems.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I mean, they can sing together, they can eat poi together, they can sing Don Ho songs together, and maybe they'll come out loving one another.
You never know.
And, you know, give peace a chance is what you're saying, Steve. It's worth sitting down with Islamo-fascists who've been out for the blood of Christianity for 1,300 years.
We can make deals with them. Where's an Al-Qaeda camp? Maybe I can make a deal with them. I might get something good out of it. I don't understand this country.
The interesting thing is to understand how sensitive the Obama administration really is. Do you know that right now they're bringing in immigrants from Yemen? Did you know? I'm not making this up. Hillary Clinton's State Department is using diversity visas to encourage immigration to the United States from Yemen, as I speak to you. They did not close Yemen off. I don't think you know this. The State Department is actually issuing diversity visas to encourage immigration to the U.S. from terror-ridden Yemen. Are you aware of this? Did you hear this yet on the radio today?
I've heard it. How about Jersey Corzine, the governor? He wants to give illegal aliens, I'm sorry, undocumented workers, that's the new political way, he wants their children to get half education on college.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, college. Right. They should have in-state tuition. In-state tuition. They all work for the non-citizen. How is it that we have politicians who are literally representing not the people who pay taxes, but people who are here illegally or would be terrorists? How does this happen?
Obama's boys. This is communist.
Well, USA. Corzine worked for a Goldman Sachs. Make no mistake about it. Thank you for the call. It doesn't end well. This goes bad. It gets much bigger. They're testing. The crotch bomber was a test. They got through to the CIA with a double agent. You know what's coming. You know what's coming. We all know it. We all sense it in our genetic code, what's coming under this guy. Wait, you see. Now you say, well, maybe he wants it so that they can declare martial law. I don't know. Go down that road if you want. Many people believe the Mueller building was an inside job. Remember, that was during the Lewinsky scandal. Blah, blah. I heard it all. It was during the Lewinsky scandal, and Bill was on the ropes. The next thing you know, boom. And all of a sudden, the sympathy and, you know, the Reichstag fire kind of concept. But that's beyond the Archie Bunker. Archie doesn't get that far into it. You know, Archie's take me out to the ball game, the Republican good, Democrat bad. And here I am, sitting alone, a party of one. Cincinnati, Ohio. Cindy, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Uncle Michael, thank you. I'm just thinking about how...
What's the baby doll voice? Who are you?
I'm 33, actually.
How come you have such a sweetheart little voice? Like, what is that? Is that a special trained radio thing? Or?
No, I guess I've just been raised well. My dad was in Vietnam, and I read a lot. I've read all your books, and I love them. I love Psychological Nudity on your new book. It's really a great book. I mean, it's really a great
book. That's nice. I'm hearing it coming from a person with a voice like yours. I'm titillated.
No, thank you. Well, I'm just thinking that without you, we really won't know what's real. You're the only person that is...
Well, I'm a realist. There's no question about it. I give a realist view. I mean, I'm like a guy from the 1950s. I'm a throwback in that regard.
You are, but you're...
I haven't been brainwashed, and my brain is unwashed. In that sense, it's accurate.
It's very true.
It hasn't been washed of the gray matter. What, do you want a white brain that's washed of the gray matter? Cindy, how do you get through a day? Who do you talk to?
I talk to my books. I read the Bible. I read classics. I talk to my animals. I talk to babies. I talk to nature. You get through the day, no matter what. And you help us get through the day, because we can look forward to you and a person that is talking on our level and who understands.
Have you ever read Madame Bovary?
Yes.
See, I mean, you say you read the classics. I threw that out of nowhere. Do you relate to Madame Bovary in any way?
Well, somewhat. I really like Dickens, and I like, Homer, and I like history, so...
But there you are, stuck in Cincinnati, Ohio. You got no one to talk to, right, other than a parrot.
Oh, I have a parrot. Yeah.
Oh, what a world it is, Cindy. A woman like you should be with an intelligent, conservative guy your age, right?
Well, I am. I'm with you, and I'm with...
No, come on. No. No radio relationships are allowed.
Silly now. No, I love Mrs.
I know. It's the beginning of the year. I don't want to get too heavily into this conspiracy stuff and attacks and, you know, Janet Sterno's heir apparent, Janet Napolitano. Why are they all Janet something or other with that same appearance? Why is that? What is, like, a certain designated position for like, the pickup truck with the... what's with the pickup truck with the AstroTurf in the back that Janet Reno liked? All right, whatever. Let's let that go. We'll just let that go. Come, I play The Sea of Love. I don't know why it's going through my head right now after that call. I feel like Sea of Love will play Misty for me. I'm verging on it. I feel it. I'm on the verge of a bad migraine. I am seconds away from a clampdown. Some vacation I was on. I go to Florida and freeze. It's true, I don't like heat, but there's a difference between warm and freezing. You know what's off. I came home to San Francisco for the warm weather. It was a pleasure. I only needed 3 covers last night instead of 5. All right. No, it's a shocker. And there's still global warming. Where's Al Gore? Like a groundhog. Every time it snows, he goes underground. You can't find him. You can't debate him anywhere, but the guy he can't even be found. Aren't they understanding that the average person, even the average person, understands that it's a fraud and it's over? You know, ClimateGate exposed the fraud that it was, the rigged-up trick data that never was. And now we have the most ferocious winter in 30 years. We're entering like a mini ice age right now. And the schmucks are pushing global warming and cap-and-trade taxes. And none of the average person doesn't know. I was in Florida. It's funny, show you how brainwashed people are. And you could see some of them are nice people. Most of the brainwashed libs are actually nice people. I told you that before. They're not actually evil, as you would think I would think. So there's a guy, a waiter, like in a restaurant, I think. I don't know. He must have been 30, 32. Nice-looking guy. A nice-looking guy, like 32, a little beard on him. I went and asked for the owner on something I was going to ask him. I said, well, tell him I'll be back. And I said, I'm leaving Florida. It's too cold for me. And then I turned and I said, it just shows you how smart Al Gore is. And I saw that the kid actually didn't laugh. He was almost taken aback by the obvious intelligence of the remark, which is, to me, absurdly apparent. And he didn't actually put two and two together, that the cold spells, the frigidity, the cold winter, the blizzards, prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the whole science behind global warming was never science to begin with. It was pure hysteria and a scam on top of it all. Because he's locked into the doxy. That's his religion. His religion is believing in Gaia. Gaia, global warming, Earth. Earth is an animal, a spirit. Get out the nose thing. Worship. You know that there was human sacrifice in the United States of America amongst the Pawnee Indians until the 1820s, until it was stopped by the U.S. cavalry? And Christianity. I don't know if you know that. I mean, you know, look, the cavalry gets a lot of bad raps, and I know they did some terrible things, but if we had the U.S. cavalry today, we wouldn't have Al-Qaeda. That I can guarantee you. I guarantee if the 10th Mountain Division could act like the U.S. cavalry did in the 1830 era, there'd be no Al-Qaeda. They'd go and they'd clean up the village. They'd salt the earth like Hannibal. You look back. So they did some terrible things, but they eliminated human sacrifice. Yeah, they'd handpick women, the Pawnee. The whole concept of the noble savage. It's sorry to use like my name in that regard, but you've read the noble savage. Everyone, every savage is noble. Every tribe is superior. They're all in touch with the earth, and it's like they mill wheat. They grow wheat rather, and everything's sensitive and superior. It's not how it was. They were horrible people to each other. They caught the other tribe. They skinned them alive in front of their daughters. Then they raped the daughter in front of the father. Then they skinned the father alive in front of the mother. I mean, it's unbelievable what the Native Americans did to each other. Let's not glorify them. Thank God they got a casino now to keep them busy. It's a progression. All the peoples need to be, civilized, so to speak. We got one problem. There's about a billion people who don't believe that. So anyway, to go back to the overall schemata of what I was talking about, which I already forgot. It's Tuesday. I don't even know what day it is. I'm a little jet-lagged already. 4:15 on the West Coast. It's 6:45 on the East Coast. I'm drinking a tea. Where was I? What was I talking about? Indians. How did I get to the Indians, guys? Doug, even the producer forgot what I was talking about. It wasn't a bad story. But I swear, I lost the train of thought. I'm willing to admit it. Where was I coming from? Does anyone remember? Doug, do you remember? Or you were on the board? Phil, you don't remember? And he's laughing because I caught him. He wasn't listening. I don't remember. I know it was an interesting thought about Indians or something. 1820s. Oh, human sacrifice. So the Pawnee tribe were committing human sacrifice up until 1815, 1820, till the U.S. cavalry stopped them, you know, by basically putting them in a reservation. Now you say, well, okay, what do you mean human sacrifice? They would take young women, they would tie them up by the hands and the feet to branches, one hand on one branch, you know, like in a hanging from it, like hand, foot, and they'd stretch them out, and they would shoot arrows into their hands, then their feet. They'd make them bleed and suffer slowly, and then one of the wonderful, fine warriors would come up and cut the chest open and let blood go on the ground. And they did this as blood sacrifice to the corn god or whatever the god was, you know, corn god, whatever. And the funny part is that the girls who were selected for this horrendous death were treated very well prior to the sacrifice because they knew what they were going to be used for, you know, human sacrifice. Now, this went on in the Aztec culture as well. As you well understand, this was part of their superior culture, making paving stones and sacrificing people, cutting their hearts out. And yet we're told every culture on earth is superior to the white man, superior, wonderful. I know you'll tell me we dropped atom bombs on Japan and we're worse. I know where your mind is coming at. That's because you can't compute. But anyway, the point I'm making is that human sacrifice existed in the United States of America till like 1820. And it was only stopped by the U.S. cavalry the same way. And I know the Spanish conquistadors did horrendous things to the Mesoamericans. But they also stopped human sacrifice. Let's not forget that. They stopped it. I mean, the pyramids were put out of business for that. They made a pyramid to roll hearts down. That's all. So they put them out of business because the Christianity didn't believe in that kind of idolatry and human sacrifice. For better or for worse, you got to understand that there's a negative and a positive in certain horrible acts. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's all. Just take it for what it is. The conquistadors stopped human sacrifice amongst the Mesoamericans. Sorry to break the news to you. And the U.S. cavalry stopped human sacrifice amongst the Pawnee Indians. Very interesting observation that history will bring to us. So what I'm getting at is violence can also bring good to the earth in the long run. And right now what this country needs is a little bit more violence and violent men unleashed upon the enemy, or we're finished. We got a State Department using diversity visas to encourage Yemenites to come to the United States of America when Yemen is already closed off. The embassy was closed because it's now become a cell, a hot cell in training. All of a sudden, they discovered Yemen is dangerous. You mean they forgot the USS Cole under Bill Clinton? There's nothing new under the sun. Show me a Democrat and I'll show you a terrorist act about to occur. I'll be right back.
Defeat lost. The system has failed. Disastrous failure attacks. What went wrong? Human and systemic failures. Red flags. Our intelligence community failed to connect those dots. Failure. Broken. Failure. Damage. Catastrophic. Thank you very much.
So he gave a speech. Don Ho comes back from Hawaii and he gives a speech that makes no sense at all. Someone else's fault? He's the president. What do you mean it was human error? He's the guy who appointed Janet Napolitano. He's the one who appointed Leon Panetta, who, no matter which way you want to look at it, got outsmarted by Al-Qaeda. Terrible. We're not celebrating the enemy's horrendous act of killing 7 CIA operatives. It's horrendous. But they outsmarted us because the enemy is playing checkers, in the old analogy, and our guys are playing checkers, and the enemy is playing chess. That's what happens when you have college boys in the intelligence world. The other guys are totally committed to killing us and converting us. They've been at it for 1,300 years. It's in their DNA code to kill. They know nothing else. They don't check manuals on what they can do when they catch the enemy. They behave the way throwbacks have behaved from the beginning of time. They torture and murder the enemy. So how do we win? How do we win when we have a systemic screw-up in the mindset of the Obama administration? Now, what do I mean by a systemic screw-up in the mindset of the Obama administration? When you catch a guy about to blow up a plane, and then you hire him a lawyer who tells him to shut up right away, it's the end of the war on terror. Because there is no terror and there's no war. Because the day Obama admits there's a war and that there's a terror and that he has to conduct a war on terror like a real commander-in-chief is the day he realizes that he doesn't know what he's talking about, that his entire doxies, his entire system of thought, his doxies, in other words, are screwed up. The minute he admits that, he says, well, maybe Bush was right. Then the entire left-wing fanatic, the whole left-wing edifice collapses underneath him. Everything he's been raised to believe turns out to be false, and he can't accept that. So, what does he do? He goes on with his left-wing fantasy that there's terrible poverty in Somalia. That's why they do these things. That's why they're pirates. He goes on with his idea that there's no war, there's no terror. It was an individual agent operating. Now, we got trouble because we can't afford to open a Yemen front at all. It's impossible. We don't have the manpower. Everybody knows that. We have troops now extended in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and to a certain extent, Somalia. The United States does not have the manpower to open another anti-terror war front in Yemen. So we have a problem now with Yemen. And we have a leader of Yemen who's a phony. He's posing as America's faithful ally in the war on the Islamic extremists while maintaining close backdoor ties with al-Qaeda, according to Middle Eastern sources. And the CIA penetration operation against al-Qaeda, which backfired and yielded the death of seven Americans, is a real story. A real story. So for Obama to say there's a systemic failure, he means he failed.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Suspected terrorist is able to board a plane with explosives on Christmas Day, the system has failed in a potentially disastrous way. And it's my responsibility to find out why and to correct that failure so that we can prevent such attacks in the future.
All right. That means nothing. And the reason it means nothing is because the mindset is screwed up. I want to read you a paragraph from the Debka file, which comes out of the Middle East, for better or for worse. And I want to read you a paragraph. It says, Obama called for a meeting of U.S. security agency chiefs for Tuesday, January 5th, and it just occurred an hour ago. And he said, Obama cannot expect serious brainstorming because it would be inhibited by a mindset that refuses to refer to the failed mass murderer as an illegal or enemy combatant or terrorist, but only as a suspect. Treated like a common or garden criminal, the Nigerian has been committed to an ordinary lockup. This has given him the opportunity to hire American lawyers, who right away shut his mouth and advised him not to cooperate in answering questions about his accessories and masters. Now listen to this. With this invaluable intelligence door closed, the U.S. president has turned to measures for enhancing the security of U.S. air travelers and air traffic bound for U.S. ports and demanded the matching up of the counterterror watch and no-fly lists. Abdul Mullablab appeared on the first but was left off the second as a result of the failure of U.S. intelligence agencies to share incoming data about his record. But let's go back again. It's a mindset, inhibited by a mindset that refuses to refer to the failed mass murder as an illegal or enemy combatant or terrorist, but only as a suspect. Treating him as a common criminal, giving him the opportunity to hire lawyers, or right away shut his mouth and advise him not to cooperate. With this invaluable intelligence door closed, that's the end of the ability to understand anything more about this. You hear? So there it is. So Obama says yesterday, we will not rest until we find all who are involved. And it says, with the days slipping by without a U.S. reaction, have given al-Qaeda the chance to plot more airliner attacks from a safe location. The second breach in U.S. defenses against terrorist attack has deeper roots and derives from the misconceptions about al-Qaeda governing U.S. intelligence, thinking well before Barack Obama's day in the White House. Prince Mohammed bin Naif, Saudi Arabia's top counterterror executive, escaped with light injuries from Abu Qair's attempt to kill him in his Jeddah palace on August 27, 2009, thanks mainly to the partial detonation of the explosive materials hidden in his underpants, a glitch repeated in the Nigerian bomber's attempt. The assassin gained entry to the most heavily fortified and guarded palace in the Red Sea town of Jeddah by convincing Saudi agents in Yemen that he was ready to switch sides, but only if he could discuss terms face-to-face with Prince Mohammed. They did hold several meetings, blah, blah, blah. He handed over solid evidence, which convinced the Saudi prince that he was on the threshold of his government's biggest breakthrough in its war on al-Qaeda. So when Abu Qair offered to bring with him to the Jeddah Palace a list of al-Qaeda high-ups in Yemen willing to defect to Saudi Arabia, the prince not only agreed to the venue but sent his private jet to pick him up from Nahran. Now, what happened? What happened was the guy set off an underwear bomb and almost killed a Saudi intelligence agent. But it was a predecessor to what happened on the airplane. And what I'm getting at is these people that we are facing here are very smart. Let's not call them foolish. Let's not assume they're stupid. And what I'm saying is with the mindset that we have in the Obama White House right now, the question remains open as to whether or not we can defeat them or prevent another attack. And I don't think we can, by the way. And that's what I'd like to talk about with you. Now, some of you don't even understand what's at stake, and I'd like to hear from some of you. And here's one in San Diego already who probably doesn't understand what's at stake. Michael, go ahead, please.
Yeah.
You think that we don't need any more terror, a war on terror, right?
I basically want to say that we don't have anything to fear from terrorism. We have got big problems in this country. We've got a record high unemployment rate.
We've got
people dying of lack of medical care.
Focused on not being blown up in an airplane.
The chances of the average American being killed by an al-Qaeda representative is next to zero. I have a better chance of walking outside and getting struck.
Well, that's because you don't fly in airplanes. You're still using wind-powered mules, right?
Yeah, I do. And would you just
right? Yeah, look, you're a diehard left-wing fanatic. And if a terrorist came to you with a knife to your throat, you'd still say he's not a terrorist, right? He's just, oh, again, the same pervert. Okay. The same pervert from San Diego, still climbing out of the sewer pipe. Why he's obsessed with Allen Ginsberg, I'll never understand. Allen Ginsberg was a sewer rat. In fact, I dedicated a sewer cover to Allen Ginsberg in San Francisco. No one remembers that sewer rat. Anyway, let's move on. 1-800-449-8255. See, he's getting great, too, on top of it all. You see how Obama looked? He looked old. He almost looked like when he came out of the movie, like they got a shot of him on Drudge. I don't know how Matt gets these pictures. I'll never understand it. He looked gray. He looked like an actor. Who's that actor? Like, there's an actor. He suddenly looks like a guy 30 years older than himself. Who am I thinking of? He was in Seven. Anyway, there's a couple actors he's starting to look like. His hair's turning gray already after a year. This is no longer... Yeah, he looks a little on the Morgan Freeman side before the rollover with the girlfriend. You know, you think that Tiger Woods is the first one with the squeaky clean and behind the scene the guy was a Luno. Morgan Freeman also had the game pretty well covered up with PR agents. You know, family man, happily married, same woman, 43 years. They sat at home and she crocheted and he drank perhaps one drink a night while reading War and Peace. Then the car rolls over and in the car with him is the girlfriend. All right, look, that's not a crime against humanity. I'm just saying, you know, there's two things going on here. If you want to live in a dream world, go ahead. I don't care. I live in a dream world. I'm a dreamer. I'm a dreamer myself. Comes to flying, though, I really would like to have an air marshal next to me. You probably have to consult the manual. The Dutchman didn't have a manual to look at. He saw a Nigerian on fire, fumbling around with his crotch. He figured it was bad. So the Flying Dutchman flew over five aisles and beat him up, choked him, put the fire out, burnt his own hands, right? If there was an air marshal on it, he'd probably have to wire home. Look, there's a guy in the fourth row who set the plane on fire. Can I act yet? Hold on, let me make a call. Click, 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 click. Yeah, what's up? Well, I'm on an airplane, and there's a guy set himself on fire, and can I do anything? Hold on a minute. Let me send it up the chain. Click, 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 click. And finally, it gets to Janet Napolitano, and she's, you know, shaken up out of a nightclub somewhere. What? What's the problem? All right, first of all, I want to know, what's the race of the guy who set himself on fire? That's number one. Number two, is he a Muslim? No, no action whatsoever. Don't bother me ever again at this hour. Goodbye. So I'm not so sure we need air marshals. What we need is American men to act like the Dutchman. I want you, you wonder, would you do it? I don't think I could. I mean, would I have jumped on him like the Dutchman? What was it? The guy had some, what instincts? It's like the Dutch underground that fought the Nazis. This guy is a hero. You know, this is the kind of guy who fought against, the Nazis blew up trains. You know, that kind of thing. So he must have the genetic warrior thing in him. I wouldn't have exactly reasoned with the guy if he was on fire. What would you do? You know, you ask yourself, what do you see a guy in robes setting himself on fire on an airplane? You have 10 seconds to make a decision. What do you do? Who do you call? The ACLU, or you dial what? You dial kill him in your head. You got to figure out, what are you going to do? Are you prepared for it? You're not through yet. They turned him into a criminal. They got him a lawyer, probably from NYU, a psycho on drugs, some First Amendment psycho lawyer from New York City will probably sue the Flying Dutchman for hurting the Nigerian, for jumping on him. How did you know that he was actually, you jumped on him because you're a racist who aids black men? Admit it. Admit it. Admit it in court. You didn't actually see the fire. You saw a black man, and you saw smoke and mirrors, and you jumped on him, didn't you, sir? Admit that you're a white supremacist from Holland. Wait till you see. I can tell you right now what's going to happen in the court of law. Wait till you see the circus. I only wish that whoever the lawyer is for the Nigerian, I only wish what he does to this Flying Dutchman hero happens to his children someday, unto the fifth generation. That's all I wish. That's all. I leave vengeance to God, because there's too many things wrong in the world for a man to seek vengeance himself. I sound very passive, don't I? Like kind of like a guru kind of thing. I mean it, though. I've always said that. If I ever got mad at the people that I hate, and there are people on earth who deserve it, people who live off your intelligence, live off your talent, make money off you, and try to rob you every day of your life, they try to insult you and undermine you, they don't support you, what are you supposed to do? Wish them ill? I say vengeance is God's. I say God will punish them unto the fifth generation. It's not my job. If a person is a pig and lives off your genius, whether he be a publisher or someone else, and then he robs you on royalties or whatever, what are you supposed to do? Get upset over it? Vengeance is God's. He has his way. God sees the truth. And my guess is that the children will be punished for the father's thievery. I've seen this from the time I was a writer robbed by New York publishers. Because believe me, I had cause to get very, very, very homicidally crazy 30 years ago. I didn't. I got upset. I did get mad. But I never went to the step of boiling them alive in a hot tub. In fact, I got robbed by a publisher once, a major league New York publisher, robbed me of my royalties. I got so angry. I was so infuriated for so long that I wrote a bad novel. Thank God I burned it. Threw it in the garbage. But it was a plot, you know, murders on Publishers Row kind of thing. And nobody would read it today because no one publishes. You know, no one knows who Publishers Row is. And it's an author who gets even with one publisher after another in various and sundry ways. One publisher lives up in upstate New York, I remember, another doll I once worked with. And he sets the hot tub so that it electrocutes him. A guy likes to have hot tubs. So he sets the electricity so it shorts out and fries the publisher. It was fun, and then I threw it out. But, you know, it doesn't end. It doesn't end. When you're a talented man, you get robbed left and right by people who live off your talent. And you have to hope that God does to them what he did to every one of the publishers who robbed me. I'll be right back.
Savage. This was not a failure to collect intelligence. It was a failure to integrate and understand the intelligence that we already had. The information was there. Agencies and analysts who needed it had access to it, and our professionals were trained to look for it and to bring it all together.
Now, I want to explain something to you. What he just said is my agencies are stupid. It was not a failure to collect intelligence. It was a failure to integrate and understand the intelligence. So that's like saying you know certain things, but you can't connect the dots. You can't put two and two together. That makes you into an idiot savant, like a moron, in other words. What is the good of 1,000 pieces of data if you can't integrate them, sort them out, and make a conclusion? This is like a giant cyclops, the government, the intelligence security system that we have. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's too big. There aren't enough people in charge of making decisions who can make the decisions. And what's the good of all this intelligence if it didn't work? In other words, the bottom line here is it didn't work. Just like 9/11, the same exact story. Another 9/11 all over again. So it wasn't that they didn't have the information, they couldn't integrate it. Same as 9/11. They couldn't put two and two together. Because by nature, a bureaucracy is stupid. It's plodding along. It's idiotic. Listen to clip 22.
I will accept that intelligence by its nature is imperfect. But it is increasingly clear that intelligence was not fully analyzed or fully leveraged. That's not acceptable, and I will not tolerate it.
What does
that
mean?
Time and again, we've learned.
Wait, what does that mean? Hold it. You will not tolerate it. So fire somebody. Say, as a result, I'm firing Janet Napolitano for the other thing, and the CIA agents, I'm firing Panetta, and that's it. We're starting afresh. We're getting professionals, not hacks in there. What do you mean you won't tolerate it? You are tolerating it. This is like a fake teacher, a teacher saying, I will not tolerate one more, you know, abuse, blah, blah, and you know he doesn't mean it. Listen to 30 to 23 now.
In recent days, we've taken additional steps to improve security. Counterterrorism officials have reviewed and updated our terrorist watch list system, including adding more individuals to the no-fly list. And while our review has found that our watch listing system
all right,
is
we
not
heard it all before. Right. All right. They were doing everything perfectly, and Al-Qaeda's already 8 steps ahead of them. 8 steps ahead of them. They're in a mosque somewhere laughing at them, watching it on a closed-circuit television set. With a feed probably directly from the CIA, they have a mole in there. They had to hire them probably through PC. They had to hire someone from Yemen. All right. What else is he going to do? Well, listen to this. He says he's doing that, but listen to what he says about Guantanamo now, 25.
I've spoken to the Attorney General, and we've agreed that we will not be transferring additional detainees back to Yemen at this time. But make no mistake, we will close Guantanamo prison. Which
Why?
Has damaged our national security interests and become
Nonsense.
A tremendous recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda.
Bull.
In
Bull
fact,
crap.
That was an explicit rationale for the formation of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula.
Nonsense.
And as I've always said, we will do so. We will close the prison in a manner that keeps the American people safe and secure.
Oh, nonsense. We heard the same crap from Janet Napolitano. You're whistling in the dark. Are you kidding me? Your people are locked into your left-wing doxies. You can't even see reality when it hits you in the face. You got a blizzard on your hands, and you're still pushing forward with cap and trade and global warming. You got unemployment through the roof, and you're going to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens who take their jobs. You people don't know what the hell you're talking about at any level. I'm sick of this double talk. I'm just sick of it. I don't buy a word of this garbage. I mean, I thought Bush was bad, man, but this is a nightmare. Listen to how he ends in 26.
We need our intelligence, homeland security, and law enforcement systems and the people in them to be accountable and to work as intended. Collecting,
wait, hold,
sharing.
Accountable means firing somebody when they screw up. What do you mean accountable? Are you accountable? Is the president accountable for anything he's done? How can he keep anyone else accountable if he's not accountable? When no one knows where he was born. Oh, I'm not supposed to mention that. I'm a birther now. Well, okay, you're a warmist then, you schmuck.
Savage.
We need our intelligence, homeland security, and law enforcement systems, and the people in them to be accountable and to work as intended. Collecting, sharing, integrating, analyzing, and acting on intelligence as quickly.
Ah, come on. It's a bunch of... Stop it, please. Mr. Obama, please. The people are not stupid. They know that you don't know what you're doing. And they know that the government's acting like a cyclops, just lurching along here. Same as 9/11. It may as well be September 10th, 2001. Now I read on a Middle Eastern report that the terrorists are considering going past the crotch. We're already looking for the crotch bomb now. First, in other words, we're still looking for the next crotch bomber. They're going to, this is a horrible one, and I don't even know if I should tell you this. I read it this morning. I said, I can't believe it. That they're liable to use an aerosolized spray of toxic compounds on the air and the inside the cabin, killing everybody. You hear this? Like releasing an aerosol of botulinum in the cabin of the plane. Can you believe what these people, how diabolical they are? Can you imagine a religion that can be hijacked to this extent? I'm sorry, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, this is the naked 400-pound gorilla in the room. Could Christianity in this day and age be hijacked to say it's justifiable to kill innocent civilians in the name of Jesus? Tell me where it would be written. I have heard a theologian on this show justify, let's say, defending yourself in war through an act of violence. Yes, defending yourself in war. But going on an airliner and killing innocent people on an airliner, which has no military advantage whatsoever? What is this? We sit here like morons. We've lost the war on terror. We lost it a long time ago. We lost it because of the mentality of this country, which is passive, politically correct, whatever you want to call it. We know what it is. It's called stupidity, in other words, in plain English. The enemies would call us stupid, idiotic. They're laughing at us that they can use religion as a weapon against us. Huh. They know how to work the system. The Trojan horse. Trojan horse. Trojan horse. Freedom of religion. That's if it's a religion. So there's a religion, usually, you go, oh yeah, guys are religious. He teaches love thy neighbor as thyself. Do not do unto others you would have not do unto you. Religion teaches peace, so it's freedom of religion. That's wonderful. We all agree on that. Then along come a bunch of zanies who say, well, my religion says I'm allowed to blow you up and your children. That's not a religion. It's an act of war. So how do you deal with that? You give speeches like this? You'll connect the dots and the intelligence, and we need this, and Homeland Security, and she'll be called at any hour out of the nightclub, and he'll be called at any hour out of the gin mill. Then we'll all get together, one stumble bum next to the other, and connect the dots. And don't worry, we won't know what to do anyway. Pray to God there's a passenger aboard who can leap across four aisles and then strangle them. So the next day we could say the system worked. So we're in trouble. In other words, it's in our hands now. That's all. And where does that leave us? Now that we know that he's the failure. Went to Avatar. The whole country's waiting for a speech. He went to the movies with his kids. You ever hear that? Commander-in-Chief. It's like Pearl Harbor, an attempted on Pearl Harbor, and a guy went to the movies and came out with the children. Ellen, where was Eleanor Roosevelt at that time? Those old stories about her disturb me for a reason, which is I don't really, how could anyone make it with her? My mind jumped to that. They allege that Eleanor Roosevelt was a swinger. But who in the world would get it on with Eleanor Roosevelt? Do you know what I'm talking about, Phil? Does that make sense to you? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, they make allegations that Eleanor Roosevelt was like, you know, swinging and this and that. She walked in JCDC. But who would do it with her? I can't understand that part of it. He was a decent-looking guy. All right, so he was sick, but he made it with a, you know, secretary that... That happened. Dwight D. Eisenhower, same thing. It wasn't Mamie with the piano. He didn't want to go home to the... So he had the secretary out there in the orange, the army drab, you know. It didn't matter. He enjoyed himself. Came back, became president. Everyone liked... I like Ike. Everyone liked him. As a kid, I liked Ike. I liked MacArthur better. I wanted MacArthur to be president, which is why they fired him, because they knew he'd beat Ike. He's a much bigger hero, so they fired MacArthur because they knew he was right about China. He was straight on with what needed to be done. He saw it coming. Patton said we should go on to Moscow. We're going to fight him anyway. Now, he didn't last too long. He died in a truck accident. A little accident. A truck hit his staff car. Oh, yeah. That was another accident because Patton was, again, another threat to the power structure. Very interesting how things work. World War II Defense Secretary Forrestal was in a nut house, threw himself out of the window. Really? Sure. Yeah, right. Why that happened? You think this just happened now? In other words, you think that the government today is incompetent or whatever. It's not the first time. All governments by nature, since they're made up of men, are imperfect. It's just that some governments are more imperfect than others. And right now we have perhaps the most imperfect government in history. All left-wing fanatics, and they don't know what they're talking about anything. You name the subject, they're standing in a blizzard, they're freezing, they're talking about global warming. The country has massive unemployment, people can't find jobs on the bottom, and they want to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens to take away even more jobs. I rest my case. So who listens to the speeches anymore? Speaks good, nice voice. Basolday speaks nicely, but what does he say? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Listen to clip 25 again.
I've spoken to the Attorney General, and we've agreed that...
Wait, hold on. Spoken to the Attorney General. Who's that? A real genius, Eric Holder. Spoken to the Attorney General. An attorney who released Puerto Rican terrorists. Another left-wing fanatic from the get-go. Spoken to the Attorney General. Like some authority. Oh, hey. A real Felix Frankfurt, Eric Holder. Where'd they get him from? And what they conclude? Listen to what they concluded.
I've spoken to the Attorney General, and we've agreed that we will not be transferring additional detainees back to Yemen at this time. But make no mistake, we will close Guantanamo Prison,
right,
which has damaged our national security interests.
We heard all of the garbage that it closed. Yeah, Guantanamo. Yeah, by keeping the bad ones there, it damaged our national security interests. By releasing them and them going back to Yemen to fight against us, suddenly our national security interests went up. Our security got better. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy. I'd give this guy an F in logic. There's not even logic here. Never mind the ability to BS the public, which he's not doing too good at. They're doing so well that Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi want to hold a hearing in a closed hearing. Even Brian Lamb, the fanatic weasel of C-SPAN, you know, a guy, I can't stand him. He's just so biased. Even he is shocked that Reid and Pelosi are trying to get away with this kind of scheme in the dark, that they won't even take the Senate bill and the House bill and negotiate it, meaning debate it in the clear daylight like Obama promised. He lied. Obama lied? No, impossible. He's a saint. Saints don't lie. So even Brian Lamb of C-SPAN said, well, I want to televise the hearings. Let the people see it. And Reid and Pelosi are saying, good luck, because we're not going to do it. We'll decide what's best for America, meaning best for our cronies. You know what I'm saying? We watch The Sopranos, and we know how it ends. The sporting goods store is empty, and the owner is broke. In this case, the sporting goods store is the United States Treasury. And you're the owner who's been taken out on the VIG. So here we are, wise guy. I'm not a wise guy. I'm just an older guy. I see it all. This is how I see it. I'm just sitting in the second story of a building somewhere, looking down, watching the world go by. And you have to admit, I probably am right about everything. Rarely have I been wrong in my analysis. Rarely. Which is why I have an audience. And think about, why do I have an audience? Because I'm funny. I have a sense of humor, but basically it's my insights. If I didn't make sense, believe me, I wouldn't have lasted this long, 15 years. And as I say, millions of Americans are voiceless, and they're dying to speak out and scream out, and we are their voices. We are, all of us in talk radio, local, national. We're their voices. Without us, there'd be no voice whatsoever. That's why the newspapers are dying. I led it to the editor. Remember those years? There were guys in New York who spent their entire life of retirement. Some of them actually did it while they had a business. They'd write letters to the editor. If it got published, you have no idea where their ego went to. They walked around on a silver cloud, and a letter published to the editor in the New York Times. Oh, you couldn't talk to this man. He was already a genius, a giant, walked with giants. No one read it. 12 people read the editorial page editor's comments to begin with, and maybe one person reads the letters. And there are fanatics who still write letters to the editor.
Dear editor, sir, I truly and dastardly think that this profoundly important medical thing...
And no one reads it. But if he walks around, there's no question about it. He wasn't Bielski in the forests of Poland, you know, knocking in the head of the other Nazis. This is part of the... You have to listen every day to get the whole shtick. Pardon me. I'm assuming too much because many of you didn't hear the whole thing on the Bielskis. And the movie Vengeance. Great movie. Defiance. Great movie. Woo! What a movie. The director, Michael Zwig. The guy is a genius. The way it was done and the acting. Daniel Craig. He should have gotten an Academy Award for this role. And a guy I don't even like was superb in it. Who's that guy who played the other brother? I always forget his name. Put on weight. Yeah, Liev Schreiber put on weight for the role. He actually looked like a stalker in the movie, like tough. Like prior to that, I never was like a fan of his. But you looked at him, it was like he became another person. He actually channeled a guy who could have picked up a spade and drove it into someone's head if he had to. Didn't he marry someone good-looking? That could be why. Put on weight. She fat. No, who's he married to? Some good-looking... Till tomorrow. You read tomorrow. She's already going out with another guy, girlfriend. They all get married. And then 2 days later, the wife already ran off with a girlfriend from Sunset Boulevard. And he's in rehab. That's the world we live in. They can't keep anything quiet anymore. There's too much. Too much already. What's going on? Is it quarter to the hour? Here I am. It's already... Who? He's engaged to Naomi Watts, that son of a gun. That son of a gun, the nerve he has. The nerve of him. How did this Lox get Naomi Watts? I want to know how this Lox got Naomi Watts. That's all I want to know. Man, that's horrible. I don't like him. He's terrible in the picture. Don't see it. No, he was good in it. But I think she must have fattened them up. She's my favorite actress. Not only that she's sexy, but she's a fine actress. I never would have thought she would have gone for a guy like you. How do you like that? How do you like Liev Schreiber? Where do they meet? You imagine, they meet on a set somewhere? I don't know, like at a club? I don't know. How do they hook up like Hollywood? It must be very difficult for them. Has to be actor to actress. I understand. There's no other way. You can't penetrate that. Well, it's like goes back to Arthur Miller. And Marilyn Monroe. That was a shocker. Here I was, a skinny 98-pound weakling in Queens, and I see Arthur Miller, like a schnook, you know, like a playwright, marries Marilyn Monroe. What the hell was that all about? Remember that? That was weirder than the Rosenbergs getting fried for sharing atomic secrets with the Russians. How the hell did he pull that off? Even as a skinny kid, I couldn't understand it. It perplexed me all through high school and college. I think it's what made me, it turned me into a writer. I hoped I'd meet Marilyn Monroe. I don't know, but how the hell did he, how did Arthur Miller get Marilyn Monroe? I never could understand that. Joe DiMaggio, understand. Ball player, actress, yes. But left-wing playwright, all-around socialist, communist, seltzer bottle guy from Brooklyn, admittedly brilliant, death of a salesman, etc. She marries him. Why? I didn't understand the mix. Well, then years later, you read that she was a complicated girl and always hysterical and depressed. He probably gave her the malarkey, you know, met her somewhere. How do you do, Mr. Miller? She probably didn't know who he was at the time, but he gave her the mumbo-jumbo, the old world, the psychiatrist look. And a lot of these good-looking broads, I mean, they fall for the psychiatric look in a guy. Because then they don't, a good-looking guy, you know, they can dime a dozen for them. But they get like the psychiatric look in the guy, you know, the owl eyes, and he listens to them, and they talk, no kidding. Well, you see, the inside, well, you have to understand that the reason you may be, is because, already she's a genius. She met the Leipzig horror there. But here we are, and that's the same thing. But how in the heck did he get Naomi Watts? Well, actor, actress. Okay, I can understand. It's not like he's a playwright. He's not like out of the sphere. They don't marry the marital habits or the dating habits of Hollywood are almost more restricted than a fanatic religionist. Notice there are religions that won't marry out of their religion, right? No, I wouldn't marry anyone. Got to be my religion. Oh no, oh no, no, no. I wouldn't go near him. Filth. It's the same with in Hollywood. Oh no, they got to be in the acting profession to even get near him. But they could never go to a physicist today. Could you imagine Naomi Watts dating a physicist? I mean, she should. What does Liev Schreiber have? All right, let's just stop right there. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Before I close off this hour, you got to listen to this clip. Here's White House spokesmouth Robert Gibbs ducking a question about C-SPAN covering the health care debate at his daily briefing. Listen to 04. You got to hear this.
Question on health care. C-SPAN television is requesting leaders of Congress to open up the debate to their cameras, and I know this is something that the president talked about on the campaign trail. Is this something that he supports, will be pushing for?
I have not seen that letter. I know the president's going to begin some discussions later today on health care in order to try to...
All right, you know, this is so embarrassing to live in a country without freedom of speech, freedom of the press. I mean, Robert Gibbs is an embarrassment, another one that should be fired. He also failed. It's one thing to cover for the president, but you got to do it with some grace, dignity, intelligence. This guy is a real mutt. I mean, how did this Lox get this job? This is like a bad piece of gefilte fish up there. It's like, you see, you take a piece of bottled gefilte fish, and you put two eyes in it with carrots, and a nose made of a pimento, and you got Robert Gibbs. Oh, God. New York, WOR calling. Lisa, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, you are bloody brilliant. Today, you are like totally on top of your game. I have one comment and one question. I just want to.
I like your voice too. Why do I like I'm getting like women with these, Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
Love you, Michael. First of all, I'm a flight attendant, and I've been working the London route, and I just want to let you know, when I walk the streets of London, I have a tag on my bag that says, "Hey, UK, take Savage off your list." So that's.
And wait, and you're not on a no-fly list for that? They'd rather let an underwear bomber on than you.
Oh, wait till no. And my other my question is, so I just came home from a flight going from San Fran to New York, and I'm looking over, you know, the countryside, looking out the window for a second, and I'm thinking exactly what you said. God, global warming, why is everything like, you know, snow everywhere, like glaciers, snow.
Yeah, where's Al Gore? Take him on a flight across the country and shake him as you fly over the country.
I always say that. So where's Al Gore? Where's Al Gore? But anyway, the reason I'm calling is I hadn't been to San Fran for about 10 years. So I had a layover in San Fran. No sooner than I walk out of the hotel door. I mean,
bums.
Homeless
bums. Filthy, dirty, degenerate, sick bums assaulted you, right?
What is with that? I mean, it's not even just homeless. It's freaking
because
homeless.
We have a mayor in the city who has the same philosophy as the president of the United States. Left-wing fanaticism yields homelessness. It yields broken streets. It's unbelievable to me. You know, in Florida, the streets are paved. You can drive. The minute I got back to San Francisco, the streets were broken. The bums were everywhere. The propagandists were at work. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how debased it is. But the reason you didn't like it was what? Were you here alone?
Well, I went out with a girlfriend, just taking a walk. Cause we know.
Nah, you see, that's why. 10 years ago, you probably had a boyfriend, right?
Walking alone a lot. I mean,
but that you got to read In and Out the Garbage Pail by that psychiatrist where he said, like, and he visited Dallas and he met a girl. He had a wonderful time and he loved Dallas. And then he went to Lexington, Kentucky to give a speech and he didn't meet anyone. He hated Lexington. I mean, our moods are affected by whether we're having a good time, Lisa. All due respects.
I had a great time. That wasn't.
I'm joking. Come on. I'm the kind of guy who pulls your leg. I'm brash. I'm outspoken. God bless you.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You is a newspaper roundup, Washington Post. Yemeni officials, fearing a backlash, played down a partnership with the United States. Fox News, scientists say that dolphins should be treated as non-human persons. Boston Globe, a decision may be near on Cape Cod wind farm dispute. L.A. Times, Northrop Grumman is moving their headquarters from L.A. to Washington, D.C. area. Decision seen as a blow to the much-battered regional economy. Now, of course, if you were a company that needed government money, where would you stay, in L.A.? Or would you go right into the Beltway? L.A. or Beltway? Chicago Sun-Times, shop class to be replaced with job training programs. Los Angeles Times, Avatar arouses conservatives' ire. 3D blockbuster called a deep expression of anti-Americanism. What else is new from Hollywood? Washington Times, Pelosi and Reid want to forego a formal public conference committee on health bills, and they want to do it behind closed doors. Washington Times, earmarks are more transparent, but just as tough to vote down. Has anyone else noticed what the Washington Times has become lately? Very, very Obama-like? BBC says giving up smoking raises diabetes risk. In other words, smoking is good for you? USA Today, ESPN to launch 3D network in June. That's great. Just what America needs now is more hats on backwards. LA Times, the Consumer Electronics Show, is featuring 3D TV. Just what the idiots need. More television, this time in 3D. Fox News, healthcare countdown. Senate bill could hit middle class hard. Washington Post, GOP retirements in House may affect party's gains in November. Who would want that job? BBC, Iran blocks EU delegation visit. Washington Post, trouble heir to Johnson & Johnson fortune. 30-year-old woman, Casey Johnson, dies. Well, she doesn't die. She was a drug addict and a sex maniac, according to what I've read, and a total disgrace to the family, and a trust fund maniac, according to what I've read. Sad she died, but I mean, let's stop with she died. She didn't die of natural causes. Fox News, atheist rapist claims rights are being violated after sharing a prison cell with a Christian inmate. Los Angeles Times, South African President Jacob Zuma marries wife number 5. His polygamy has been criticized by women's rights and AIDS activists. It's Africa. It's Africa, fool. Washington Post. Secret Service confirms there was a third crasher at the White House state dinner. Said to be a D.C. party promoter. Don't you love it? Doesn't it make you feel secure knowing Obama's in charge, that party promoters can crash the White House? And you wonder why crotch bombers can crash airplanes? And why double agents can crash CIA headquarters? Yeah. Politico says Representative Peter King weighs a Senate run again. And what else is he going to do? Go to work for Donald Trump? Politico, Senate Judiciary Committee to hold hearing on bomb plot. Oh, yeah, we'll get to the bottom of it with Dianne Feinstein at the head. Philadelphia Inquirer, New Jersey bill giving in-state tuition for illegal immigrants advances. Anything for the illegals. Providence Journal, ACLU sues a local school board over closed meeting. Gee, why don't they sue Pelosi and Reid over the closed health care meeting? Well, that's a roundup from news around the world. All of these stories and more can be found in detail on michaelsavage.com. Well, you know the bias of the midstream media, but I don't think you know how actively they're working against you and your safety. Listen to what passes for news on CNN these days.
Young, handsome, Californian, has the benefit of English without an accent, and who also is proficient in the Arabic language. In fact, he is technically an Arab. What better mix?
The imam doesn't agree with Al-Larki, but it was at his mosque Al-Larki met two of the 9/11 bombers, although there is no evidence he knew what they were planning. But what's on everyone's mind now is what influence Al-Larki may have had on a young Nigerian, either here or in Yemen.
Did you hear that? Quote, what better mix? Young, handsome California, close quote. And then the reporter, the traitorous Nick Robertson, goes on to completely absolve the imam of any responsibility, even though the bomber conspired in his mosque and in England, the Muslim radicals are protesting dead British soldiers.
There's nothing honorable for being engaged in this crusade in Afghanistan. And when the bodies come back, for in some way to treat them as heroes and honorable, and to say that, you know, they died to defend our country. Nobody is swallowing that.
Can you believe this?
You cannot divorce the British foreign policy in Afghanistan from the atrocities which are being committed there by the American soldiers.
I told you already,
soldiers.
Mr. Chaudhry, I am not prepared to discuss lies with you.
You can talk over me as much as you want.
I'm not prepared to talk about lies.
But speaking up against this radical Muslim was one of the fathers of the fallen soldiers, Alan Hicks.
We don't need people to come along with symbolic gestures that are totally un-British. They are anti-British. In this country, we have a constitution. Once our soldiers are committed, it is the duty of every Briton to support those soldiers 110%. If you disagree with the war, you're perfectly entitled to. Anybody is entitled to disagree with the war. You take that disagreement to the Houses of Parliament, not to the families who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Good for you, Alan. At least there's one man in England who's brave enough to stand up to the Islamo-fascists amongst them.
You're British. Do you accept that you have a duty to support our soldiers once committed by a properly elected government?
No, not at all.
We're off the beam then, because you're not British. You're a foreigner, as far as I'm concerned.
That's absolutely right. He's a foreigner, for all intents and purposes. Send him back where he came from, if he won't act like a loyal Briton.
Savage.
The underwear bomber is just another example of our crumbling national security under Obama and the failure of this leadership to keep us safe. Joining us now with his thoughts is James Carafano.
Hey, Michael. Great to be with you. Okay, so I understand you've been really upset about the whole crotch bomber thing, and you can't be more upset than I am. I am absolutely livid, and there's three things about this that just really tee me off, and I just want to talk about them. Okay, so the first number one is we're blaming the wrong people. I mean, everybody has gone after the Department of Homeland Security, and I understand it's the dog everybody wants to kick, but there's a lot about this that just doesn't pass the common sense test. You know, first of all, when they threw Secretary Napolitano to the dogs on Sunday on the talk shows right after it happened because they were too cowardly to put anybody else out there, right? And I guess she's the only one dumb enough to, like, you know, take all the headwind. She just, you know, really got hammered for, you know, just saying something stupid. And then what really teased me off is, when you actually look at what happened here, almost nothing that went wrong is the responsibility of Department of Homeland Security. The airport, the Dutch airport, the Dutch do the screening there, not the Transportation Security Administration, not the Americans. We don't do the screening in the airports, international airports. The countries do that. And if they had just sent that person to secondary screening with a simple pat-down, they'd have found this guy. Now, what would lead them to send a secondary screening? Well, he might be on an alert, but the no-fly list, that's not run by the Department of Homeland Security. That's run by the FBI. The terrorist watch list is not run by the Homeland Security. That's run by the Director of National Intelligence. And by law, the department can't change those lists. They can't make the other guys change them. They can't even tell the airlines to look for something else. Congress has written out, so the aviation has to do the screening. So that is not TSA's fault. And then you say, well, dude, the guy should have never had a visa. Or if he had a visa, it should have been revoked. Well, you know what? Department of State's responsible for visas. So in many cases, you know, the Department of Homeland Security was not at fault in this at all. And indeed, if you go back and you look at all the stupid rules that Congress has written and the 85-plus committees that oversee the Department of Homeland Security – what they've done is really tie the department's hands in working with these other federal agencies. So that's the first thing that pisses. The second thing that really, really tees me off is, dude, where is my Homeland Security? You know, we have stopped 28 terrorist attacks since 9/11 hit the United States. 26 of those were stopped by going out and connecting the dots and doing it before the attack. We built this system. It worked. In 2006, we stopped a very, very similar plot coming out of London, actually more sophisticated, with guys that were going to have liquid explosives and blow up planes bound for the United States. Found out the plot, connected the dots, worked with the British, took the whole thing down, developed the countermeasures, let people know about it. That's the gold standard. How come this same system, the one Obama says is quote-unquote broken, how come it worked like a charm in 2006 and it failed now? So we built this system, we gave it to these guys, and they screwed it up. That teased me off. And the third thing that really teased me off is this administration, you know, doing, and the next weekend, what do? They take John Brennan, who is the senior counterterrorism official, who's supposed to be the guy coordinating this stuff. He's not supposed to be a partisan spokesperson. He's not supposed to be the point PR guy. He's the guy who's actually supposed to be doing the job. And they throw him on the Sunday talk shows. And he's out there, you know, basically being partisan, defending the administration, attacking the critics, getting into a duel with Dick Cheney for, you know, give me a break. And when the president comes out, it's staged. The president comes out a week after the attack and says, oh, we know the attack is from Yemen and we know this guy's an al-Qaeda agent. Well, yeah, no kidding. We kind of like knew that the week before. And then he has a meeting of all the senior counterterrorism officials at the White House. Oh, like because they all like really need to get together and brief him. And then he's going to give another speech. So I'm sorry. You know, when this happened, the first thing somebody in the White House said was, we're going to get hammered on this, right? It wasn't about, oh, my God, people could have died. Oh, we've got to stop this. Oh, we failed. We got to figure out. No, it's we're going to get blamed for this, right? It's all about the politics. So that's what makes me angry. Is for this administration, it's all about looking good and the politics and nothing sticking to you. I mean, this, ladies and gentlemen, is the Velcro president. And that's what makes me mad.
But what about the changes the administration is taking to secure our airplane flights?
First of all, everything they're doing is like the guy that loses his keys and he looks under the lamppost, even though he lost them over in the corner in the dark because the light's better over there. Everybody's fixated on the airplane. Everybody's fixated on the airport as if that's where you're going to stop these guys. And the right answer is stop them before they get there. I mean, doing security at the airport is like the version of the Maginot Line. You know, the French built this impenetrable fortress to protect themselves from the Germans, and then the Germans just walked around it. That ain't going to work, right? So I think we overly fixate on aviation security. There's some simple things that we could have done. You know, first of all, what's really scary about this is this could have been a domestic incident just as well as an international incident. We actually don't screen people on domestic flights. We have a project called Secure Flight that's supposed to put information on a screen suspicious passengers that's still not finished because of Congress dithering, because of all these groups that, you know, don't like this or don't like that. That's an easy one. Real ID, right? Standardized driver's license. So when people board planes domestically, we know that they're not using fraudulent or doctored documents, just like the 9/11 hijackers did. That's important because somebody could have done domestically exactly what this guy did trying to come out of Nigeria. We spend a lot of money and a lot of time on checking visas, and this shows how idiotic it is. Here's a guy that shouldn't have even had a visa that got one, and it wasn't revoked. And we have, by law, we have to interview everybody that gets a visa. Well, you know what happens? Because by law you have to interview everybody, that means you spend the same attention to some grandma as you do to a potential terrorist as you do to a 12-year-old kid, right? And so what happens is instead of focusing our resources on the guys that are a problem, we have to interview everybody, right? Stupid. We should stop that, right? We have countries that, you know, people that come from there are not a problem, like Poland. And we make them get visas, and so we spend all this money having consular offices and the embassies and these people. And we could take those resources and send them to places like where we know bad people come from, like Nigeria and these other places, and do a lot more scrutiny. We have programs now that are actually a lot better than visas. We have this thing called electronic travel authorization, things that we use with some of the countries where you don't require a visa from, where we get the passenger name. We actually have a lot more data, a lot of information on countries other than countries that visa. You know, Nigeria is a good example. Nigeria gives us nothing. Once you get a visa, you can fly from Nigeria. All the countries that we work with routinely, from them we get what's called passenger name records, which is a lot of information that we can use to identify for suspicious passengers.
But then everyone won't be treated equally.
You know, treating everybody equally basically means that not focusing on the people that are suspicious, you know, basically means that we waste a lot of resources. You look at these measures that they've implemented. They're nuts. I mean, they're just knee-jerk, pretend like we're doing something. My favorite one is, okay, we pick 14 countries, and we're going to strip search everybody that comes out of those countries. Okay, Cuba's on the list. Like, when was the last time Al-Qaeda agent came through Cuba? And it's like, oh, yeah, the terrorists are really stupid enough to come out of these countries. None of the terrorist attacks have come out of those countries. They've all gone through other international hubs, right? So this is just a pretend make-believe thing. Here's a rocket, like, emerging brilliant insight for you. If strip searching everybody out of Libya was really a good way to catch terrorists, you kind of think somebody would have thought of that like 8 years ago. So this administration throws a whole bunch of new aviation security measures on the table. And the reason is not because they make sense, not because they make us safer. It's so they can pretend that they are doing something. And that's what passes for Homeland Security. It's not going out and get the terrorists. It's not taking people and interrogating them. It's not treating people like an enemy combatant. It's not taking the fight to the enemy. It's doing whatever it takes so this administration doesn't get blamed for anything.
Thanks for the report, James.
Michael, thanks for having me on. You know, if people are not angry about this, what happened and how our government failed us, there's something really, really wrong. So if they're not angry, you need to make them angry. Thanks.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, the media is talking about the CIA bombing in Afghanistan as though this is the first time a CIA informant has ever double-crossed them. It's happened many times before with even more disastrous results, and I want to remind you of them. Joining us now is former PLO terrorist Waleed Shabbat, author of Why We Want to Kill You. Did you hear that? Why We Want to Kill You. Waleed, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Although we don't hear it from the media, you say this isn't the first infiltration of the CIA?
While the mainstream media, while our officials in our government seem to say that infiltration into the CIA has never happened before, may I remind the audience that Ali Abdel Saud Muhammad, also known as Ali Muhammad, was a Al-Qaeda agent who infiltrated into the special forces and also worked as a double agent with the CIA, and he gave Al-Qaeda a tremendous amount of information about our movements. In fact, in 1998, he was charged with training terrorists to execute attacks on the World Trade Center in 1993. It wasn't 9/11 wasn't the first attempted attack on the Twin Towers. He was a mastermind behind this tragic event. He was also behind the targeting of U.S. embassies in Nairobi, Kenya, and Tanzania. He helped to establish the first Al-Qaeda terror cell in the U.S., trained Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda was involved in training members in the U.S. In fact, Ali Muhammad allowed the second man in command, Ayman Zawahiri, to come to the Bay Area in California to raise funds for Al-Qaeda. He was also key in establishing the first 180-page manual for Al-Qaeda operatives and how to carry out terrorist attack. The 9/11 issue was also behind this guy, in which he, before that, he trained Ramzi Youssef, Abu Halima, Nusayr, with the Twin Towers. He also pleaded guilty. He was caught later on and pleaded guilty. Yet till today, there was no sentencing of this double agent.
Why?
Because the government covers the whole issue up. Look, I know this issue very well. I have family members who did the translation for Sami al-Aryan case, if you recall. My cousin Kamal Yunus, he translated the secret recordings with the FBI for Sami al-Aryan. Of course, Kamal Yunus, my other cousin, his brother, Jawad Yunus, is the lawyer and attorney for Abu Zubaydah, one of the henchmen of Osama bin Laden in Jordan. The terrorist in the event in the CIA massacre in Afghanistan was Hammam Khalil Abu Malal al-Balawi, known also Abu Dajjan al-Khurasani. He's from Jordan, from the same neck of the woods as Abu Mus'ab al-Zarqawi. Abu Mus'ab al-Zarqawi, which we executed, was also from the same city as Abu Dajjan al-Khurasani. he was also a double agent, just like Ali Muhammad. So the infiltration into the CIA was from long ago and still ongoing, not just only the CIA, but the FBI and our military and everything else. So al-Balawi, who's known also al-Khurasani from al-Qaeda, was also known in the jihadi blogs. In fact, his statements of his attempt to detonate himself as a suicide bomber was a known fact. I speak Arabic. I get into the blogs. I read what they say. Abu Dajjana al-Khurasani, the executor of the massacre of the CIA, was all over the blogs in the Arabic. The CIA seemed to have missed all these blogs. And if I may translate some of the statements in which he stated himself that he wants to carry out a suicide attack against the U.S. He says, and I quote, and I'm translating this from the Arabic, "When I drive my car towards a checkpoint, my surroundings change by a press of a button to find myself a martyr riding a booby-trapped car, driving towards idol-worshipping guards. I cry out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar."
This is unbelievable to me.
You know, so his attempt to blow himself up was made public on the Islamic Al-Qaeda blogs, yet he was able to basically work with the Jordanian government and also fool the CIA on a ruse for a full year, making them think that he wants to give them a lead into catching Ayman Zawahiri. They should have known already that he is an implant, and they greeted him, seven of the CIA agents. You know, it is ludicrous to allow somebody from Al-Qaeda, who made himself public on the blogs, to be allowed entry into the compound without being searched. This is another Fort Hood massacre, because it's the same number as the Fort Hood massacre. Yet what do we do regarding the Fort Hood massacre? We allow the Islamic Society of North America to send their scholar by the name of Lu'ay Safi to speak after the massacre and to come across as so-called peaceful Muslim. Yet, if I may quote what Lu'ay Safi stated in his book, Peace and the Limits of War, Safi wrote, "The war against the apostates is carried out not to force them to accept Islam, but to enforce the Islamic law and maintain order." Wow, to enforce the Islamic law? This doesn't seem to be like a peaceful Muslim scholar.
Exactly.
The ISNA itself, Islamic Society of North America, and all the Islamic organizations in North America have openly supported radical Islam and jihadism in the West. In fact, Lu'ay wrote, "It is up to the Muslim leadership to assess the situation and weigh the circumstances as well as the capacity of the Muslim community before deciding the appropriate type of jihad." Wait a minute. What's that about? Jihad by the pen? Jihad by financial means, raising funds for Al-Qaeda and Hamas? Then the actual jihad itself. So we're dealing with a political movement as well in the West.
Well, I think this is a sign of our complete lack of strong leadership.
What does General Casey say regarding the Fort Hood massacre? This is our military leadership in this country. Casey, he says that the Fort Hood massacre was a tragedy, but it will be a greater tragedy if our diversity becomes a casualty here. Wow. I guess diversity is the key. We need to have diversity in the military, and this diversity is causing this infiltration into the in all sources of government, including the CIA. This is why we have these massacres with Nidal Malik Hassan killed 13 Americans on Fort Hood in Texas. In fact, if you think that General Casey had a slip of a tongue, look at what he stated during Christmas. He said, "Where else can a shooter find such an array of victims to kill?" Wow. In other words, that we have a diversity in our military is very important and key to allow 3,000 Muslims to be members of our military service. This is outrageous. In fact, he wore a Santa Claus hat, and during Christmas he gave a speech, and when he was asked, "Why don't you make the same speech in Afghanistan and Iraq to our military there?" he says that wearing a Santa Claus hat is offensive to Muslims.
What? Unbelievable.
This is no slip of a tongue. This is carrying out an agenda in which diversity becomes an issue, because in our administration's mindset, that we have to win the hearts and minds of Muslims. But in my view, winning the hearts and minds of Muslims is not in by basically kowtowing to Islamists. It is by showing valiancy, in which our Air Force bombed the hell out of the Iraqis when they raped Kuwait. If you look at the Arab blogs, they seem to have respected what Americans did there. Many Kuwaitis do support America because they've seen America in action. So it's through our strength that we show valiancy to the Muslim world that will gain us the respect, and not through this kind of weakness. When the government does not protect its own people, the people themselves must become aware. Islamic awareness is crucial. The guy that basically thwarted the attack on the plane, the crotch bomber, was Islamically aware. He was listening to shows like this and understanding what the problem is. Now, the Americans have to be vigilant when they travel. There is one way to know a fundamentalist Muslim. Look at the forehead. Look at the forehead of Abdul Muttalib, who attempted the crotch bombing. You will see a mark on the forehead, because Muslim fundamentalists try to prostrate their foreheads so tight to the ground in order to gain a mark on the forehead. This is from the Quran. The evidence of their faith is upon their forehead. If you look at all the suicide bombers, look at the 9/11, look at Muhammad Atta's forehead, you look at all the foreheads of these suicide bombers, you will find this mark. So if we see a Muslim in the airport and he shaved his beard, he is up to no good. Because in Islam, it is forbidden for a Muslim male to shave his beard. All these Muslim terrorists had beards at one point in time. So why would they have the mark on their forehead and shave their beards? So we must be vigilant. And if we see this kind of activity, we must, you know, raise the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Israel doesn't have a problem with any airlines being hijacked and attempt to blow them up in midair. Why? Well, because Israel does profiling. And if Israel succeeded in their thwarting of terror attacks on their airlines, why can't we do the same? In other words, we must change our tea parties and begin to demand that terrorism is the major problem in this country. It's not just the economy, but it is the state of security of this country. So we have to also address the macro level, the big picture here. So our state of government needs to hear the voices of Americans speaking out loudly against this issue.
Waleed, thanks for the report, and thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael, for having me on your show, and God bless you, and God bless this country.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here are some headlines from MichaelSavage.com. Well, they're really, some of them are my headlines. Reid and Pelosi want to finish the health care scam behind closed doors without a debate. You hear this? Did you hear this? Without a debate? And by the way, the latest news is that C-SPAN, as left-wing as C-SPAN is, even the little man, Brian Lamb of C-SPAN, has insisted that the Democrat leadership hold these hearings in public. We are living not in a banana republic, but something even lower than that. It's unbelievable to me that Reid and Pelosi are operating as though this is a gang that took over the country. Here's another one. Virginia Muslims in Pakistan say that the mission was jihad, not terrorism. That's against us. As they entered the courtroom, one of their men, Rami Zamzam, told reporters, "We are not terrorists. We are jihadists, and jihad is not terrorism." You hear this? Jihad is not terrorism, sure. And war is peace, and freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength. Yeah, and all religions are equal. Sure. Mm-hmm. Here's a nice one for those of you who are into sensitivity. Obama names transgender appointee to Commerce. "As one of the first transgender presidential appointees to the federal government, I hope that I will soon be one of hundreds," quote, was selected for his, her qualifications, not because he, her was transgendered, right? That's the example Obama's setting for your children. Also from michaelsavage.com, Obama's aide is terrifying. Just when you thought Big Sis had easily retired, the award for biggest turkey in the global war on terror, up steps John Brennan, who said there was no smoking gun, which would have led them to the crotch bomber. Maybe if he was willing to use a couple of smoking guns against terrorists instead of coddling them, the crotch bomber would never have gotten on the plane. Here's another one of my headlines. Global warming, a lie, says God, as he blasts Earth with frigid temperatures. Oh, yeah. All around the world, it's the coldest winter in 25 years, but the left-wing phonies are still telling you that there's global warming. Tell that to the Peruvian farmers who are dying from a lack of sunlight. Here's a sad one. It's another Obama security screw-up. The CIA was tricked by a double agent. Terrible. The CIA, as you know, has been gutted by a generation of liberalism, and now it can't tell a terrorist from a tent maker. Thank you, Leon Panetta. Iran says to John Kerry, we don't want you, keep out. Iranian so-called lawmakers have rejected Senator John Kerry's request to visit their country, saying the United States needs to change its policies towards Iran. You see, Kerry doesn't seem to understand that in Tehran, peace in our time means time for a bomb. Ex-spy chief says Iran regime about to collapse. The former intelligence officer said that instead of imposing sanctions, Western nations should look to supporting opposition groups and not recognize the Ahmadinejad government. But Hillary Clinton, of course, has said nothing about the murders and torture going on in Iran, nor has the U.S. offered to help those who are protesting. Iran is on the brink of collapse, and our government is collapsing at their feet. From the London Times, UK Muslims plan a march to protest the Afghan war. That's right. Downing Street today condemned the call from Muslim militants to march through Wootton Bassett carrying empty coffins for dead Muslims. Where are the soccer thugs in Britain now that they need them? Hispanic American guy. He's a city councilman in a small town in Southern California. He goes to Mexico. He goes to dinner with his wife. The banditos break in. They kidnap him and four other men. They execute him, throw him in the garbage, in the gutter. Do you know what's going on in Mexico? Do you have any idea the war at our doorstep? And this government wants to make illegal aliens legal? Do you have any idea that how incompetent this government is? And by the way, they're not the first incompetent. Bush was the same. Okay, so don't start telling me about Obama. Bush tried to do it, too. And McShane the Shame passed the Illegal Immigration Legal Act. You know, just give him a pass. So this is coming up. He can bankrupt America, nationalize the banks, nationalize health care, nationalize the automobile industry. I predict that the town hall meetings were like a child's birthday party compared to what's coming if this gang tries to force this down our throats. That's my prediction. I'm not going to lead it. You don't need me to lead it. Millions of you know what this is all about. Millions of you know what is at stake. Millions of you know that if they legalize 30 million illegal aliens and their kin, it's all over. You will have the equivalent of the wrecked socialist state of Mexico. We will have the most melted down country. It's over. It'll never come back from the hell that they will drag us into. And that is worth fighting for, let me tell you that. That is worth fighting for because if they do that, they will have a perennial vote for socialism in this country. Let me explain that again to you. If they get those 30 million illegal aliens in here, they'll vote one socialist left-wing government after another for the rest of your life and probably your children's life. You know, there was a time that Mexico was a semi-prosperous nation. And then what happened was is that it became totally corrupted in the 1930s, and socialism crept in, and the country truly never recovered from that. And now they're going to import this mentality to this country? So there I say to you, I'm not making a prediction, but I'm saying to you, as I sit here, if I'm going to make any kind of political prediction, that if this gang tries to pull that one off on the American people, and I can guarantee you as I stand here in front of this microphone, that this is not just a Republican thing. This is not just a Democrat thing. I've seen every poll. This is an American thing. Most Americans want the illegals not only stopped, they want them thrown out of the country. Let me go a step further. They don't want another passive, let's sit here and wait for the next radical Muslim attack, and then we'll see what mistakes were made. They're tired of it. They want them kicked out. They want them out of this country. They are sick of it. They don't like the demographic change, if I may be very blunt about it. They don't like the cultural change, the social change. They don't like any of it. But worse than that, they don't like the political change that came with the illegals. How do you think people like Barbara Boxer, Hillary Clinton, Dianne Feinstein, and Barack Obama get elected? How do you think it happens? And so you say, well, how did this happen? How did this happen? You've seen nothing yet. If you let them get away with granting amnesty to the 30 million illegal aliens, you may as well leave the country because you're not going to be you will be a stranger in your own land. So that's all I'm going to say on this today. But I've already gotten more excited than I wanted to get. My friends. I hate that phrase. It's like Benjamin Franklin from high school. Friends, Romans, and countrymen. Caesar, Julius Caesar. Remember that? I read that.
Savage.